Welcome, everyone, back to Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Today, we are talking with John Anderson. And as a side note, just so everyone knows that I am a human being and I deal with, I have issues in life. I have issues, too. I have issues in life, just like everyone else. So my day has begun with, I don't know about you. Have you ever tried to fix anything in your house and had to deal with contractors? I'm batting, I would say, oh man, under 100. I'm batting under 100 when it comes to contractors. And yeah, I don't know. Doing very well when it comes to vendors. When it comes to IT vendors, I do very, very well. Contractors, remodeling basements, doing drywall, things like that. I'm pretty much abysmal. And I should leave that up to my wife because she goes to Angie's List right away. Do we have an Angie's List, John, in the IT world? Is there an Angie's List?
You know, I don't know, Phil. Quite honestly, I never really did a big search on that. I usually, you know, stick with any of my vendors or contacts, you know, just talk with them directly.
Yeah, I manage IT the way everyone else does. I'm a better Googler than most of our end users. That's why I'm in charge. Welcome to the show. On a serious note, in pharmaceutical, there's not much pharmaceuticals going around these days. So thank you for being in that industry of sorts. How did you, let's start with this, because you seem to be a young fellow, around the same age as me, I'm assuming. So, and this is how we carbon date people. What was your first computer?
Oh man, my first computer, I don't even remember the name of it. I think it was the precursor of the Compaq. It was an old PC that a friend of my father had given to us in hopes that my dad would learn how to use it. I think the thing had something like 2 megabytes of memory. And yeah. I think it was an old 8088 processor, quite honestly.
It was 2 megs.
Yeah, big hunk of box.
Operating system software, do you remember?
It started off as a DOS system, DOS. Good. Good. And then I remember trying to load Windows 3.x onto it with like this big box of the 3.5 compact diskettes.
Yes, stack of disks. Yep. Okay, good. So good. We're on the same page, so to speak. What I just like reminiscing. I really do. What made you get into IT? Because it's usually never, I played around with computers back in the day and one thing led to the next and here I am. Actually, quite often it is that. But it wasn't like you went to school for what IT is today. There was no certifications. There was no, it's a good question. What was Cisco doing back then? Were they in infancy? What were they? I don't even know. But you have a few certifications. But anyways, talk to me. How do you get to where you are?
Well, I think I had a non-traditional path into IT, honestly, because I started out as an auto mechanic years and years ago. When
makes complete sense. It honestly makes complete sense.
My cheapness overwhelmed me, and I didn't want to have to pay a big box store in order to fix my computer, so I learned how to do it myself. It started out as a hobby, and in the hobby, I saw an opportunity at my one job I was working at in order to fill a need, which was they needed a local IT support guy for the office and for the servers and for the backups. And you know what? I like doing this, so let me talk to the management and see if they can help me out. You know, like I'd be more than happy to do this stuff, and maybe I can, you know, pivot this thing into a career. And it worked out pretty well for me.
I would say that's 90% of 90% of most of the CTOs, CIOs, the VPs of ITs nowadays. There's a lot. I've even had one that was like, yeah, I was in the cafeteria and I spoke with a help desk guy when he came up to fill up his tray or something. And then I was like, hey, how do I get over into IT? And then they're like, oh, you'd be great. You can talk with people. Yeah. And no, seriously. And now he's the CIO. So it wasn't like that back in the day. There was no, a lot of kind of trial by error, maybe drinking from the fire hose, you're figuring things out, tinkering on boxes. I can order this hard drive and install it into this metal box. And that was cool. I can upgrade RAM. It was very much one of those, addictive gaming things where there's a lot of power ups and different items that you get, and I don't know, skins and stuff. This is I hear this stuff from my children. Yeah. So
I mean, you get the cheap thrill from successfully fixing something. You know, it's like, oh man, I got this computer. It's got the blue screen of death on it. I don't know what's going on. And well, let me see what's happening. And you discover it's like a bad driver or a bad memory stick or something. And let me pull this one out. I got another one, throw it in there. And then you're the hero of the day, you know, for whoever was having the issue. So it's, kind of like a cheap thrill.
One of the themes that comes up in the show a lot is continuous learning. Always be learning, which obviously you had to do. I mean, there's no way that anyone would be able to do anything nowadays without continuously learning I'm trying to think of the right word here. The landscape, the technology landscape is very, very different. What did you do as time went on? Just read things and implement things? Or what's your continuous learning journey look like? It's like, oh, that's cool, let's give that a try. Or what is it?
Well, it usually starts off with something that piqued my interest. And then, you know, you go the route of searching on Google, you know, trying to find other information, reading. And as scary as it might sound, YouTube is a great resource for trying to learn different things. The trick to it is you have to sift through all the crap in order to find, you know, the diamond in the rough that has to do with whatever the topic is that you're looking into. For me, my continuous learning actually started with virtualization when I first got into IT. And I was fascinated by the whole concept of, you know, running whole computers and software. How the heck does that work? You know, so I bought a couple books, you know, VMware for Dummies, and I actually talked my company into sending me into one of these boot camps for VMware. I think it was it 3.9 or 4.9, something like that, VMware VM server. And it kind of just exploded from there for me. I really focused on a lot of the virtualization, and when things broke, whether it was a virtual machine or a network thing or something, it turned into research. You know, I got to go figure out what's happening now, because I didn't really have a lot of people to fall back on, you know, call a colleague or something. Because when I was doing all of this stuff myself, I didn't have too many other people, colleagues that were into it. So I was kind of on my own little island at the time.
Side note, VMware being purchased by Broadcom. Any thoughts?
Not particularly. Because believe it or not, I hadn't been paying too close attention to it. And I just realized that they were purchased when I got an email from Broadcom saying, hey, you're going to have to put your support tickets in through Broadcom instead of VMware. It doesn't really bother me too much from one perspective, because all these tech companies are always merging and separating all the time. It's like a big Pac-Man game. You know, everybody's trying to consume everybody else.
Well, it brings up an interesting conundrum, because yes, that is the modern day IT director, IT manager, IT leader, CTO, CIO's job, is to deal with juggling a bunch of balls in the air, anywhere between 80 to 120 different applications, managing a spreadsheet of, I don't know, contract dates and contact lists and things like this. And how do we streamline this all? And then let's turn that into an industry term, and we'll just call it, I don't know, UCAS or something, unified communications. And then that doesn't really unify everything, because then, you know, it's just not possible. And yes, the industry is I don't even know if it's still on my profile. I think I used to have like a description of, you know, basically it's a mix of mergers, acquisitions, and bankruptcies. And ironic thing is, sometimes bankruptcy is good, because then they're like, oh, the bankruptcy was great because it was a prepackaged bankruptcy. And what it allowed us to do was, you know, free up a bunch of cash flow. So now we have a much more robust network because of this, this, and this. And you hear that a lot.
Yeah.
So for you to have to translate all that is a kind of interesting job. At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win, and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never-ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime due to the partnership and the sponsors that we have behind the scenes at Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Let us show you how we can manage away the mediocrity and hit it out of the park. We start by mapping all of the available fiber routes, and we use our $1.2 billion in combined customer buying power and massive economy of scale to map all of your locations, to overcome construction fees, to use industry historical data, to encourage providers to compete for the lowest possible pricing, to negotiate the lowest rates guaranteed, and to provide fast response times in hours, not days. And we leverage aggregators and wholesale relationships to ensure you get the best possible pricing available in the marketplace. And on top of all of this, you get proactive network monitoring and proactive alerts so that you're not left calling 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND to enter in a ticket number and wonder, why is my internet connection down? In short, we are the partner that you have always wanted, who understands your needs, your frustrations, and knows what you need without you having to ask. So we're still human, but we are some of the best, and we aim to win. This all starts with a value discovery call where we find out what you have, why you have it, and what's on your roadmap. All you need to do is email internet@popularit.net and say, I want help managing all of my internet garbage. Please make my life easier, and we'll get right on it for you. Have a wonderful day. But you mentioned a more common theme, which is it does get kind of lonely at the top. What's your, I don't know, mentorship theory, or how do you stay connected with peers if you do at all?
Well, I try to stay connected with a lot of former coworkers wherever possible. My previous job that I worked before my current one, I was there for almost 18 years. And I grew up within the organization. So that was, I started in a different area of the organization. It was actually a process technician. So I was working on the process side of the job, and I slowly moved out of it into IT. But when I moved into IT, I gained a lot of connections and colleagues with our headquarters that was in Europe. So with a lot of those connections, I try to make sure that I keep in touch with a lot of those folks, at least the ones that are smart, you know, the ones that have the good head on their shoulders. And I have a couple other friends now, like outside personal friends that are in the IT field, that I do have the opportunity to bounce ideas off of them or issues, you know, whenever I have a chance. You know, last week I was golfing with a buddy of mine, and then we started talking about Zscaler. He's trying to deploy it in his particular organization, and we've inherited it in my current organization. But unfortunately, I don't have direct access to it, so I couldn't help him out too much. But it's more of just talking to the people that I've developed my relationships with. It's not like I don't have an opportunity a lot to go out to actively network with a lot of other people or a lot of other folks within the industry, but I try to talk with, gain as much as I can talking with the people when I have the opportunity, especially my friends.
We've been trying to figure that out for a long time. How do we do this on the show? Because we're nearing like 300 shows now. So how do we get all the IT directors that have been on the show into some kind of like collaboration environment where, I don't know.
Sounds like a convention.
Yeah, but it has to be done in a way where, I don't know, some nefarious individual doesn't show up and try to sell us a bunch of stuff and take over the entire conference. We'll allow him to come and speak, but he's got to pay. He's got to pay for something, and he can't take up the whole. He can't take the whole time. I don't know.
Yeah, and we have to vote up and starts trying to sell you a whole new slew range of servers or something. Right?
We have to vote on like who do we allow in or something. I don't know. no, but that's a serious. I mean, it's a serious thing. So okay, so the theme of the whole point of that is golf. Take up golf. I grew up golfing, so I gave that up for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because it doesn't take. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go out for 4 hours. Twice a week minimum. I think you have to golf twice a week to really get that handicap down low, which I wouldn't mind doing, but I think my family and wife would be more ticked off at me for that. So I
mean, you don't have to get good at it. You just have to go out and enjoy yourself. That's the whole point. You go out, you're in the sunshine, you're hanging out with your boys.
Can you golf if you're not good and have fun doing it? I guess that's the question.
Absolutely.
So... golfing and just remind me of some nicknames for the game that I probably shouldn't mention. How big's your team right now, or how many guys you guys how many people are on the help desk team? What are you guys trying to accomplish over there?
Well, right now it's just currently at my site it's just three of us. It's me and two other system engineers who are basically keeping the pilot light on, helping the users with the support help desk, and then we do have a director above who basically he dictates and guides a lot of the different projects that are associated, but at my level it's handling the user support side with my guys.
What's your feeling on end user support, and I guess I don't know, philosophy on connecting with end users, and what kind of app? I guess my question more is, I guess it should be more of what's your environment like, how, what do you have to support for them? Is there a lot of personal interaction? Like, what's the typical complaints? These type of things.
Oh yeah, it always starts with personal interaction, because at our site we have approximately 300 individuals, 300 users, and of those users, a number of them are manufacturing folks that a lot of them don't have a lot of computer experience. So it's. The personal interaction comes from actually talking with the users after they're reporting an issue and then figuring out what it is exactly the issue is, because sometimes it's a mystery. You know, they say, oh, I can't connect to my email, or the computer's broke. I need IT to come and help fix it. So now you know something's wrong, but you don't know exactly what it's wrong. So it turns into a mystery. You have to ask the right questions, and it turns into this exchange where it's almost like an interview, you know, or almost like a cross interrogation, because they don't know, they know what's wrong, but you don't know how to get the details out for what you need to know to fix the problem. You know what I mean? It's give and take type of thing.
Yes. I think we do take for granted a level of technological proficiency. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a certain level of technological, technological proficiency. Yeah. There's a certain level that I think the whole world has.
Exactly.
But then when you actually connect with people, you're shocked. You're like, you're almost like, what do you mean you've never used Excel?
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, what do you mean? How do I send a calendar invite? So, like, this is real stuff, which is actually kind of, I volunteer locally in the community and are on some nonprofits and in some like more inner city type of areas. And I think there's some general life skills that people just need to have, which is how to set up an email signature, how to send a calendar invite. And it shocks me that there'd be people out there going to apply for a job that don't know how to do these things that you absolutely need to know how to do. You have any suggestions for, like, are there any like cheat sheet courses or quick course? I basically told people, hey, just Google how to use Google Workspace, Microsoft 365, Excel, PowerPoint, and you could probably learn it all in, I don't know, a day or two. Just go to some, there's got to be some YouTube channel or something that shows you how to do all that.
Well, you know what? I think I can do you one better in one respect on that. from the standpoint of forget even trying to set up, you know, an email signature. It's basic computer operation in many respects. And when I say, well, let me rephrase that, not operation, but terminology. One of the biggest things that I run across is when people or when end users say, oh, the internet's down, the internet's broke, I'm not able to do X, Y, and Z. And it's not the internet. Like, you and I or people in the industry know the internet as the cloud, you know, this big omnipresent information repository. But most of the common users, you know, they think just connecting the computer to a network is the internet. You know, or like internally, when you have a user who is connecting their laptop or their workstation to an internal service, you know, some kind of web service, and they say, oh, I'm not able to connect to the internet's down. Well, you go into the thing trying to figure out how come they can't get to Google or they can't get out to the internet. And they're like, no, it's not that. I'm trying to get into, you know, whatever, you know, like Salesforce or something that's the local service. And it's something that I thought about over the years that you mentioned about volunteering, something that I've always wanted to do, at least for a lot of the elderly population. Like, a lot of these folks have no idea how to use a computer or what it is, like how to log in, or like, you know, more specifically, what you're saying, like how to set up email. Like, what's the difference between email and going on to Google to check different things out? I've always wanted to try to volunteer time and teach folks that, you know, like those basic understanding skills, which you assume when they come into a job or a new user comes into the job, like, you know, basic understanding of Microsoft Office and tools is what, you know, it's a prerequisite. You know, we automatically assume everyone knows that, but that's never the case.
I mean, it is actually a pretty serious task for some people that have already graduated high school. If I said, I need you to send me a spreadsheet with all the addresses on it, can you take, I know you don't know what an IP address is, but I need all these IP addresses listed out here. I need, I need the loop speed. I need the circuit speed. I need, can you put what model firewall is at every site? I need the addresses. I need the, you know, and then I need, like, I don't know, this was the example that just came up the other day, and they're like, I think I can learn it. Like, you know, I was like, oh no. And I don't, again, I don't, I was like, I think you can learn it too. I was like, I think you can learn it literally like right now, like type here, type there, like just start clicking around. Because the crazy thing is that same person can tell me why a certain application on my iPhone's not working. Seriously, person who might be a Z generation, or I don't even know what these generations are, millennial, something like late young millennial, whatever it is, they'll be able to tell me, oh no, you got to go into the settings on Instagram, then you've got to go here click, let me fix that for you real quick, just give it to me. The same person will be able to do that, and I'll just be annoyed because I don't have like 15 social media apps on my phone, and I don't, you know, I mean, I know there's like APIs into whatever. I can't remember what it came up. It'll be like, I don't know. I was dinking around with Facebook advertising or something for the, you know, Facebook for like
from the devil.
Yeah, of course. No, of course. Well, I think I was, you know, we were messing around with like Facebook advertising on Instagram or something, you know, so you have to have a Facebook business account, and then you have to know how to like set things up in certain feeds and you know, target audiences and, you know, all these different things. And it's actually fairly daunting, especially when you have to, you know, and then make sure that this is connected and give me permissions over here. And that person will be able to do all of that. And be like, oh yeah. And then you got to go into YouTube and go to settings and go here and do that. But if I say, hey, I need you to send me a spreadsheet with this, I'm like, ooh, I don't know, man.
Yeah. It's like, wait a second. And they don't know, like, some of those cases, like you're saying, like, they don't know what a basic networking or an IP address is. Like you said, firewall. What's the firewall? You know, like, what do you mean connecting with a cable, like a network cable? It's,
I understand exactly where you're coming from.
It's Cat 6. It's Cat 6. Yeah. Is the Cat 6 there? Do you have dual drop or single drop? I know that the thing on the ceiling's blinking blue with the wires coming out of it. Okay. Most hated piece of equipment or IT technology that you have to manage, or we could say worst silo. Ooh. And I don't want anyone to think, by the way, I don't want anyone to think I don't know how to do Facebook messaging. I click around and do a lot of stuff, but there's certain expertise when it comes to like marketing and split testing things. And by the way, you're not going to find my Dissecting Popular IT Nerds ads on Facebook anymore, but if they do pop up in your feed, I have had someone one time say, "Hey, look who popped up in my feed," and they were on the show. But anyways,
most hated silo.
I have one, by the way. I have it highlighted in blue on your LinkedIn profile. I have an idea because you have a list of things that you take care of, and I saw one that was a little antiquated that I've highlighted. Yeah. I'm just wondering if you're going to say it.
I would have to say printers.
Okay, that makes sense. Yes.
Because they can.
That makes sense. Because all the Xerox companies are going out of business, and the old print and the old copy machine companies and stuff are quickly turning into MSPs.
You
don't understand. We used to be the copy machine guys and the Minolta guys. We're an MSP now. I'm serious.
Yeah.
It's good. No, but it's some are good MSPs. Some, and they're really like, why did we wait so long to do this? Some are not so good. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the printers, because there's a certain expectation from, again, the end users about, you know, being able to print and scan, and I want to be able to put it to a share drive somewhere, and, you know, trying to move away from share drives and do things on SharePoint. Can I just email it directly? And then if you have other kind of security features, you know, your firewall or your block somewhere else within your network to get a scanned email sent out, or you have some kind of limitations, you have to bring two other groups in because you don't have access to get into the firewall. You don't have access to get into, you know, your O365 Exchange Online or whatever it might be. And actually the physical support of the servers, you know, toners, my God, users don't know how to change toners themselves.
It's a messy job. You got to pull out this tray, you got to flip a bunch of little plastic knobby deals.
Yeah.
You got to, like, you know, shake it first, like run the little green thing back and forth or something. I don't know.
Or replace paper. But it's the same thing, like adding paper. It's like, look, you guys should be able to do this stuff yourself. I mean, we're grown ups here.
I have a buddy that works for, like, I think it's Harvard University or something. He's really like the AV printer guy. But I think of him as IT because of that. I was like, oh, you're in IT. He's like, no. I go around and I'm like, I handle all the printers and copy machines and papers. I'm like, oh, you're in IT, which is really, it shouldn't be. It's kind of like, that's the old joke I had. Cause I used to ask people, what was the craziest ticket you ever got? One guy told me one time, he's like, well, yeah. He's like, we got a ticket to fix the hand dryer in the men's bathroom. You know, we get a, wow. You know, hey, can you, and they, I, you know, and people get HVAC tickets. I guess that's like maybe the second worst one is a lot of people get like, hey, the heat's not like on the right temperature or something like that.
Oh my God. I can tell you some stories about, trying to support, HVAC, from back in the day. We actually had in my old job, we had an R&D lab, and we had a lot of these R&D scientists that came in at the crack of dawn. They'd be in at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And in the winter, it'd be cold as crap in there in the lab. So in order to try to keep the lab up better to trigger the HVAC system, they would take heat guns to the thermostats on the wall, and they melted the thermostats on the wall because it got way too hot. They would put the heat gun on there in order to trigger the HVAC.
Oh, sorry. In order to cool it?
To cool it, yeah. So like it would be in the summer, excuse me, not the winter.
Sense. In the wintertime, we just let the heat guns just fire off into the air.
Exactly. Exactly.
They melted the thermostat.
Yeah, sounds they like melted the thermostat.
Like, sounds like something my kids would do.
Yeah. We don't understand why the HVAC doesn't work or why the temperature doesn't regulate. You go out there and you look at the thermostat's melted down the wall. It's crazy.
I had highlighted Avaya Modular Messaging and Communications Manager.
Oh, you see, I put it out of my brain. That's why I didn't even consider it.
Oh, was I close? Was I close then?
Phone systems? Yeah. Yeah. My God.
They're my favorite.
The system that we have now currently in my current job is a command line type of system that I inherited when I started the job. And I didn't learn how to use it. I have no idea even how to get into it in order to access.
Wait, is it like an old star codes? Like you got to do it through the handset on the desk?
No, 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 not that old. There's actually a server. I believe it's a Linux server that we have housed in a co-location that we have to remote connect into. And then you have to command line into it from there in order to get into the configuration for the system itself.
It must be some SIP-based voice over IP, asterisk box, maybe asterisk or something like that. I'm just trying to think of what it could possibly be. What kind of handsets do you guys have sitting on the desks?
They are Avayas, but they're newer. They're black.
They're newer.
Yeah. I mean, you're not talking about any fancy ones that do the video calling, you know, where you can get the LCD screens, you know, where you can.
I always knew that was a gimmicky thing. Like when you saw a video phone, did you ever think that would catch on? No, for real. Like we've got Microsoft Teams, we've got Zoom, we've got, I mean, help you. Well, we got Cisco WebEx, we've got
Google Meet now too, right?
Oh yeah. So that's my bane. Every time I get a Google Meet, I'm just like, ugh. And if I ever had to send one, I feel I have to send out an apology note with it. It's just no one uses. Oh, I mean, I'm a Teams fan. I am. I really am. I'm a Microsoft. I'm like one of the people in the Matrix. I'm one of the people in the Matrix that I mean, I know they control the world. I know that they're like the largest nation ever. Like I'm still a fan.
Yeah, I agree with you, man, because we like most of the places I've worked have been Microsoft shops, and I do like Teams. I like using it. I know it very well. As a matter of fact, my wife's company had just instituted using Teams, so I had to give her a little once over on how to use it. And she started to become like the office superstar on how to use Teams in her place. So it's you know,
you just gave me an idea. I just had a great idea that we could do that Dissecting Puppet IT Nerds could do. We should create inner office cheerleaders for IT. We should have an ad that's like, do you have people that hate IT in your organization? Well, we've got the solution for you. Just send them to here and we'll make them look awesome. And then you'll love them. And they'll tell everyone else in the community of your, I don't know, workspace place how awesome IT is.
Nice. Like your own personal hype bot.
We could do that. Well, if you talk about like, have you ever been involved in a large rollout ERP, some very like, you know, lemon juice on paper cuts type of rollout where you've got a lot of problems and you know that there's going to be a lot of complaints coming in?
Well, yes, but smaller scale, not large, but small scale.
So the ones that I've always realized were, very difficult. I'm trying to remember years ago. I remember we had someone that had done like, I think it was definitely over 200,000 users. It might have been 350,000 users migration from Microsoft to Google. Can you imagine?
Oh my Lord, that's nice.
Like, can you just imagine? You know, it was insane, right? And can you imagine like the calls coming in and the complaints and like, it's unfathomable.
Yeah, especially because the technology is different.
They did it, and they did it like I would give them like a 97% on the like flawless rollout. Mm-hmm. It took like months of like pre, like how I imagine, like, okay, who can we put on our team that's going to be like cheerleaders for us, like people outside of the IT organization? Okay, we need to first bring 10 people in. Let's train them all. Yeah. Tell them, hey, you're going to get a burrito every day for every time you help us get rid of a negative Nancy, like something like that. And it was like, we're going to put little stands up everywhere, like demo stands are going to be like, and we're going to like, it's going to be like, this is the great new thing that's coming out. It's called no longer Microsoft. You're using Google. And like, here's how you do it. And everyone's going to get, I don't know.
You get a free, here's a pencil eraser.
You're going to get these new workbooks. They're so much better than a PC, you know?
Tell me you're going to give them a tablet. They'll all be lining up.
Yeah.
They'll love that. Everybody wants a little doodad, you know, a gadget tablet of some sort.
It just sounds like an insane thing, but it all came from, yeah, like these cheerleaders, which you actually did inadvertently with your wife. So
yeah,
whoever at your company, you saved the IT at that company, a bunch of help desk complaints or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, you should, do you know the IT guy at your wife's company?
No, because it's all third party contracted out.
It's an MSP. So who cares? It's a copy machine company.
Mm.
It's an ex copy machine company that took over as an MSP. Oh, well. All right.
But you know what? I like that idea though, with a cheerleader, because I mean, like you said, you have somebody in your corner that's going to help, like instead of the IT people or senior management, you know, dictating from on high, sending a bunch of emails saying, get ready, you know, Monday, we're going to switch this over. You know, you start to put the fear of God into some of your users, like, oh my God, you're going to take away my tried and true tool that I've been using forever. I don't want to change. And you know,
no, you got to walk the halls. You got to walk the halls. You got to shake hands. You got to be in front of people. You got to find the people that are your cheerleaders and your champions. And then you've got to have those people champion and champion IT. And then those people have got to just say, hey, you know what? I don't know, but you know, let me just say, John has been such a help. He's made my job so much easier. I mean, even though we melted down the HVAC board, it's cool enough in here.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, it's crazy important. What's 7 years? Wait, how many years were you at the previous company? Did you say 18 years?
Yeah, just short of 18 years.
How was that transition? Was that a little shocking, leaving a place for 18 years and going to a new place?
Oh my gosh, it was a huge culture shock for not only for the organization, from the organizational standpoint, for me personally as well. I mean, when you start, you're in an organization for that long, and when I had started at that organization, it was very, very small. There were about maybe 30 people working there. So it was like a family atmosphere. You know, you knew everybody, you know, what you knew everybody's, you know, almost their business, you know, their kids, their pets, their family, what they're working on, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it grows and grows and grows, you know, you grow with it to the point where even though you may grow to 150 people, you still at least know all 150 people's names. Right. You may not know everything about them, but you still know them, especially from an IT perspective, which I did. I was a one man army. So like there was no other IT people at this site. So I did everything. And I also provided all of the onboarding and the IT training for the site. So every new body that came into that organization, I had met face to face, except for a few small exceptions. And we sat down for an hour, told them about the IT systems, told them about our policies, our procedures, all of that type of stuff. But you have that level of intimacy, right? And comfort. So like, you know, everybody, and you know who to go to solve problems. You know who to go to talk to if you have an issue, and who can help you get the information you need. And then leaving that type of atmosphere and then getting dropped into a new organization where, you know, it's like being in high school all over again and changing schools. You don't know anybody outside of the people that you had interviewed with. And you're lucky if you see them in the office at any point in time as well. So it's a shock. It was a huge shock.
It's crazy thought. my brother and some other people I've have been at like the same company for like 34 years, 30 plus years. I can't imagine.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think that's it. Well, not think it is. It's a rarity nowadays, especially with a lot of the younger folks coming in that they just job hop in order to make the money. But for me, it was a comfort level. You know, you actually reach a point in time where you're too comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, you no longer challenge yourself, or you no longer, maybe not technically, but you're not challenging yourself enough to get out there and take a chance on something new.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, you know, for me, it was time to make the change.
So then suggestions then coming into that environment. So because other people are going through that right now, they're starting day one today, starting, or they're on day 14 or they're on day whatever. Was there anything that stood out that was very helpful?
Not particularly, because some of the things that I had expected or anticipated where you would, you know, get a walk around, at least walk around the office and introduce, you know, hey, this is John. He's our new IT manager. He's going to be helping out with, you know, the IT. He's going to be in charge of the systems, things like that. I unfortunately didn't get that. I was basically instructed to send out emails and introduce myself and try to schedule regular meetings with the different functional leaders of the different functional areas. Had I had an opportunity to meet each of these folks individually, face to face, with somebody acting as an arbiter, at least, to say, hey, you know, here's John, he's the new guy, you know, sit down and talk for just 10 minutes, 5 minutes, even that. Yeah. You know, you get that level of comfort and it makes it easier in order to start these types of meetings and schedules. That's the biggest thing that I would recommend, because it puts a face to the name, first of all, but then it also increases and helps that level of comfort. You know, once you get over that initial intimidation of meeting someone for the first time, you know, you can kind of break the ice a little bit.
Yeah, we need to brainstorm some icebreakers then. So,
Hi, how are you? What'd you have for dinner last night?
I was thinking more along the lines of kind of like how we got connected, right? Like, how do I... Like how there's just some things that I think how to be somewhat funny can be helpful, you know, like, yeah. Even like how we got connected. I was like, hey, I know you wanted to connect with another, you know, bearded technology guy, you know, so here I am, you know, or it's like, hey, I'm the new dude that, that they hired to hide in the server room and answer trouble tickets for you. Yeah. But I decided to come out and become human today. So hi, my name is John. Troll. Yeah, you know, my name is John. You know what I mean? Like, put some tape on your glasses. You know, I'm not wearing my glasses right now. Yeah, I haven't worn them all day. I should be. You know, like, hey, I'm the new nerd in the back. You got any problems with your keyboard? Or, but don't call me if your printer's messed up. Okay, I don't do toner. I'm the toner chainer. You know, I mean, like, no, for real. Or like, go around with like some kind of gift or something. Hi, I bring gifts of you know, and peace, whatever offering from them. From the most hated, you know, like, no, I don't speak Klingon.
Yeah.
What else could we have? Or I do speak Klingon.
Well, that might turn them off a little bit. That might scare them. But the humor part of it, you're absolutely right, man. Like, when you're funny, and you get that hook, you know, it works.
Would you rather be feared or be in fear is the question. I would rather be feared than in fear. It's like public speaking, right? It's one of the most scariest things. I think Seinfeld said, you know, public speaking is the most feared thing, more than death. So the person at the funeral giving the eulogy is would rather be in the coffin.
Yeah. I mean, I can agree with that, because I've always had this type of intimidation and fear of not even public speaking, but speaking in front of large groups of people. Over the years, I'm not fully over it, but I think I've got a little bit better control over the stammering or the stuttering and,
I was a terrified kid. I was a terrified kid in high school. Only now can I talk about it. Freshman and sophomore year, I thought, you know, I was just gonna get locked in a locker and, you know, who knows what could have happened. You know, it was just the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And I could never do public speaking or any of this. And like, it's kind of weird. My kids are like, I don't believe you, Dad. I'm like, no, it's seriously, it's true. Look at me. See, here's the pictures. They're like, that's not you.
Yeah.
Steroids help. Steroids help. I am a proponent of everyone taking anabolic steroids that can get them prescribed to you legally anytime, I don't know, late 30s on. I think that's very helpful. Just a piece of advice. I am not your doctor. I am not
steroids for public speaking? How's that work?
No, just for confidence level.
Oh, okay.
For confidence. No, public speaking. No. Oh, well, maybe. I don't know. Let's see. This is going quickly off the deep end. No, public speaking. Be always prepared. This was my hack when I had to take. I eventually took a public speaking course because I was so terrified of it. And I don't even know if the course helped. I just figured tricks of the trade out at the time. And I was like, wait a second. If I ask a question blatantly to the audience and I could call on anyone at random, now all of a sudden the fear is flipped. I've flipped the script, right? Now all of a sudden the audience is like, oh man, I hope it doesn't call on me. And so you have a question. I am going to ask it randomly anytime throughout this IT presentation today for the definition of an IP address. And I need someone to tell me, I don't know. I'm going to ask at any time today, the when's the last time you've changed your password? And if you are following the company security policy, be ready.
Don't do that. Don't do that. My God, you have nothing but terrified looks in the audience.
Be ready. Be ready. I am going to reveal at any moment the last person that clicked on a phishing email. We know who you are. We know who you are. And no, but if you do as you're told and you listen and you protect the company from loss. I just want to let you know, Mr. CEO, I know you're in the audience. I just want to let you know I'm doing my job. But if any of these people click on these phishing emails, you could lose $60,000 today, or they could shut us down. It could be a ransomware and we're out of business. I just want to let you know that I will be calling on any of these 10 people that clicked on the last phishing emails. Their last name is Smith is one of them. Anyways.
Then you see, like,
I don't know.
People, yeah. All of a sudden just
all of a sudden, like, people, oh, are like, man, they're like, okay, you know what I mean? But all of a sudden you've taken the there's a little bit of a comic edge, but there's also a little bit of a, we are going to ask some questions today of want to know who knows how to use Excel, specifically this formula. We're going to have you come up on stage and we're going to have you demonstrate how to sum all of this and do a simple formula. Calling at random. This will not be volunteers.
Just puckered up the entire audience. Like, oh no.
But honestly, it's kind of fun and it helps. Or one time I had to give a presentation for when I was back working in corporate America. And what was the presentation on? I think it was on like shared tenant, platform or something, and why. There was like a competition between like these different, we all had to come out and give a talk. It was down to the last three. We all had to give a talk, right? So it's like, okay, how are we going to make an impact? It was me and who was it? Was it me and Brian Groh? I'm trying to think. Brian Groh, I should give you a call out on this one. We had to get up and give a talk. And I was like, all right, he's like, all right, we had to like meet the day before. I'm like, all right, what are we going to do? I was like, here's what we're going to do. We are going to write off, we are going to expense a $100 bill. We're going to go into the bank. We are going to get 100 ones. We're going to put a rubber band. We're going to fold those in half to make it look even thicker. We're going to have this big wad of money. And we're going to say, who wants to win this big wad of money today? And like all of a sudden, like the audience just came alive, because if you pay attention and we ask these questions at the end of this talk, somebody is going to get this, wad of money. And it was like, I think it might have created a small wrestling match or fight over when we've had to throw that out into the audience. Anyways, these are the public speaking tricks, either throwing money, putting people on the spot with a question that hardly none of the audience can answer. That of course, And I don't know. Those are my two public speaking tricks.
And
I like it. I like it. It's a heck of a lot better than the old fashioned. Imagine the audience in their underwear. I'm like, some of them folks, I don't think I want to see it.
I'm good. Do not do that. I'd pause. No, I didn't even know that was a thing. That was a thing. I think I vaguely remember that, but that is, yeah, no. No, that's not going to work for me. But yes, I guess the theme of this whole thing is like, new to a job can be intimidating. You don't know anyone. There's going to be people that try to big league you. I can clearly remember getting big leagued at a job before. And like this guy coming in and standing, I was talking with a guy and a guy coming in and standing in between me and turning his back to us and talking with the other guy. And I was like, that was rude. There's going to be people. There's going to be arrogant people. There's going to be complainers. There's all your types of people. And you've got to learn to deal with each one appropriately. It can be very, especially the thing about the IT is that everything that you do affects everybody.
Yeah.
So it's IT affects every single person. So we have to learn how to deal with every type of person. We should put together an end user,
categories, types of end
users. Yeah. What do we call those? What's the word for it? It's a, not prototype or something.
Stereotypes.
Yeah. What was that? What was that like blue movie alien, that blue alien movie that came out recently where like the people with the weird ears and stuff out in space or something? What's wrong with me? Anyways.
Sci-fi guy, but I don't know which one you're talking about there.
Yeah. I'm sounding real dumb. I don't watch TV. So that was the best thing I ever gave up. At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime due to the partnership and the sponsors that we have behind the scenes at Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Let us show you how we can manage away the mediocrity and hit it out of the park. We start by mapping all of the available fiber routes, and we use our $1.2 billion in combined customer buying power and massive economy of scale to map all of your locations, to overcome construction fees, to use industry historical data, to encourage providers to compete for the lowest possible pricing, to negotiate the lowest rates guaranteed, and to provide fast response times in hours, not days. And we leverage aggregators and wholesale relationships to ensure you get the best possible pricing available in the marketplace. And on top of all of this, you get proactive network monitoring and proactive alerts so that you're not left calling 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND to enter in a ticket number and wonder, why is my internet connection down? In short, we are the partner that you have always wanted, who understands your needs, your frustrations, and knows what you need without you having to ask. So we're still human, but we are some of the best, and we aim to win. This all starts with a value discovery call where we find out what you have, why you have it, and what's on your roadmap. All you need to do is email internet@popularit.net and say, I want help managing all of my internet garbage. Please make my life easier, and we'll get right on it for you. Have a wonderful day. Anywho, we have to profile people. That's the arrogant sales guy. That's the whatever. Here's how you deal with arrogant sales guy. Hey man, I got a potential referral for you. I got a potential referral. How do you deal with negative Nancy? You got to get the cheerleader to talk to the negative Nancy and be like, hey, I don't know if you knew this, but HR is going to be penalizing anyone that does not embrace the new Google Workspace environment.
I like that. You start playing.
This stuff's just coming up off the top of my head today. I don't know where this is coming from. I need more coffee. What is the no one's given me an official answer to this yet, or a really good answer, but I always ask it. What's the end game for you? Any future plans? Is there an end game?
Not really. Because I tell everybody, like folks are looking to plan on retirement. You know, like, I'm going to retire. I'm going to go travel the world. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Me, I'm old school, man. I figure I'm going to work till I'm dead. I'm not looking to really retire. I want to make sure that I'm comfortable and make sure my family's taken care of. But otherwise, I'm going to keep going until I can't go anymore, because as soon as I stop moving, it gets bad. You know, like, I start to go stir crazy after about a day or two of not doing anything. I need to have something to do.
Fully acceptable answer. That is probably the most acceptable answer that I have heard, actually. So retirement, what's that?
Yeah, what's it going to get you anyway? I mean, you're going to go, you're going to sit on your houseboat, or you're going to travel around, you know, and are you contributing actively to anything? I mean, are you pursuing anything that you want to do outside of, you know, looking at spaces, or, you know?
Well, there might have been, like, I don't know, if you said, I want to start a, by the way, did you ever learn how to fix cars? Are you good at fixing cars?
I don't know if I should answer that, because I don't know if anybody wants to contact me. But yeah, I know what I'm doing when it comes to fixing cars.
That's sweet.
Did it for almost 50
I mean, maybe
years.
It's like, hey, I want to, you know, I'm going to save up some money. I'm going to open up a nonprofit local, you know, auto mechanics training facility, and we're going to fix, we're going to make the, I don't know, who knows? And I mean, there might, you know, that would have been acceptable answer as well. But no, working till I die is fine.
Yeah, like, man, I should do.
I'm going to die in front of a computer screen, Phil. I'm going to die. I'm going to probably, if I don't go blind first without wearing blue blocker glasses.
I actually imagine, I imagine myself dropping a hammer on my head or something, you know, instead of staring at a computer screen. Like, how the hell did you do that? I hit myself in the head with the phone.
I've actually had seen that happen, actually. You reminded me of my, I was in Home Depot. You know how Home Depot, they always say, like, be careful. We'll end with this. I'll give you the last word, but we're going to end with this. I was in Home Depot, and they say, like, you know, don't let your kids stand up in the carts or anything. So I have my daughter strapped into the front thing. She was, like, I think maybe 5 years old. No, four. She had to have been four at the time. Yeah. And my son, who was very responsible and kid that stayed by my side and wouldn't run off and, like, try to climb the, you know, the different racks like some of my other kids do now. He was, like, right there by my side while I'm looking at, like, some drill bits or something, and there's the hammer. So, you know, me, I was my fault. Four-year-old reaches out, grabs a hammer from the heart, and hits my head, hits my son on the head with the hammer.
Oh my God. Like,
you wow. Got it, kidding.
And you're sitting there, like,
he starts, like, crying, and I'm like, what are you doing? And anyways, he was okay. He might have had a small bump on his head, but I'm looking around. Did anyone see that? No, he seems to be okay. And yeah, that was it.
Nobody had a cover on that, right? Good. Okay.
Anyways, final words of advice to anyone else that is in your similar position, living around the world in the world of IT. We have a lot of people that are miserable in their positions, and maybe you'll, I don't know, make their life better and give us some piece of advice or something that just is probably maybe the most important thing that you've learned in this field over the years.
Well, actually, I think it's two things. The first thing is the personal touch, talking with people, you know, being able to talk and communicate with them and relate in some way to them. Don't just treat them as another help desk ticket. You know, you have to learn to actively listen sometimes on what the problem is, because then you can listen between the lines, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe for some reason they don't want to tell you what the actual issue is, but then through a conversation they may reveal themselves or say, oh, yeah, well, they actually did delete the file by mistake. I'm like, okay. And reassure them, like, look, you know, everybody makes mistakes.
That's the piece of advice. Okay, so first of all, part one is, look, tell them, hey, look, this is between you and me and the four walls. Did you smash that computer out of a fit of rage? It's okay, because I get it. I've done it too. Like, I'm just going to let you know.
Exactly.
Like, did you delete that? Did you send it somewhere you shouldn't have? Were you trying to, like, not get fired? That's why you tried to delete all the emails. And even though, I just want to let you know, we see those, but it's okay. yes. Anyways. Okay. So your information might be safe with me. I'm human too. Anyways, keep going. What was part B?
The second part of it was to teach something. You know how they always say, you know, try to learn something new every day. I like to invert it a little bit and try to teach somebody something. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be anybody. It can be grandma at the grocery store. It can be someone in your family, or just, you know, introduce them to something new that they didn't know. You know, not, I'm not saying sit down and talk about, you know, the IP, you know, addressing stack. No. Just any little thing, you know, when you impart knowledge onto other people, it empowers them and then makes the world grow a little bit more too.
I can honestly say that that might be one of the best things I've ever heard on this program. No one, I can honestly say that. I think that's probably the least selfish thing I've ever heard. And it's one of the most important things, because a lot of times maybe IT might be in a position of arrogance where they think, oh, this is so, but you actually said teach someone something. I would absolutely love somebody. I would absolutely love it if someone taught me something that I didn't know every day. And actually went out of their way to do it without me asking. I would absolutely be very, very thankful for that.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's something that I learned, you know, like what's that other adage that they always say, you know, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, but teach a man to fish and he can feed his family for a lifetime. Right.
Yes.
Knowledge is power. Like we always talk about, and it should be shared. It should be shared, not kept.
John, thank you so much for being on Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you, Phil. I had a good time, man. I really appreciate it. It was great connecting with you. It was great talking with you today.
Thank you.